God, we give you thanks and we give you praise and we give you honor and glory for all that you've done. We thank you for your love and kindness and for your tender mercies. We thank you for Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We thank you for this day that you've made. And truly we will rejoice, we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Lord God, we continue to lift up prayers unto you for those who are grieving and those who have lost loved ones. Lord God, we lift them up before you, those who are in the hospitals and the nursing homes, who are sick, Lord God, we lift them up before you. Have mercy upon us, have mercy upon your people, Lord God. And now speak a word for us, a word of hope, a word of love, a word of peace, Lord God, and even a word of joy. In these times, let us have the hope of Christ, the hope in knowing that we are believers in Jesus Christ. And take hold of me, the preacher, and put me under submission to your holy will. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts, Lord God, let it be acceptable in your sight, because you are our Savior and our Redeemer, you are our refuge, you are our strength, and you are our Lord. Amen. Amen. So now, friends, we will, as we come, family and friends, here we are on this first Sunday, and we certainly do thank God. Who would have thought we would be still here in May 3rd? But thanks be to God for life. My sermon title today is Very Truly. Very Truly. Just two words, Very Truly. And let me give you some foundational information. Between verses 3 and 11, John, the Gospel of John, quotes Jesus as prefacing his discussion with Nicodemus with the words, "Very truly I tell you." The "very truly I tell you" phrase is used by Jesus in John's Gospel a total of 26 times in the Gospel of John, "very truly." It's used in John more than in any other gospel and is used nowhere else in the New Testament, in all of the New Testament. So we see "very truly" used only in the gospels, and it's used in John more than any other gospels. It's interesting because if you read John a little bit, you would understand. John is very heavenly bound. He's otherworldly. You could understand that. So when we read this phrase, we should pay very close attention to what follows. When you see that "very truly" phrase, we should pay close attention in what went on before and then what follows. Because what follows is obviously an extremely important truth, Jesus, through John, wants us to know and believe. He wants us to know something. When he is saying "very truly," it should get our attention because he wants us to know it. He wants us to understand. Also, when John leads off with the words "verily," "verily" in verses, such as we see that in Matthew and Mark and Luke and John, he's not merely saying "believe me, this is true." He's not really saying "believe me." He's actually saying, "I know this is true firsthand. Just don't believe me, but I know this is true firsthand. I know it. I, the one who is Jesus, know it." It's not just, "well, believe me." "Verily, verily," when he says "verily, verily," that's another one. It is, "I know this to be true," or "very truly." Since many of these comments are on heavenly, spiritual, or godly issues, Jesus use of "verily, verily," or "very truly" is part of his consistent claim of his divinity. He's making a claim, a consistent claim of his divinity. Because he's saying, "I know this to be true, not from a human standpoint, but from what? From a godly standpoint. I know it to be true because God has told me so. I know it to be true because it's coming from God." And so here we have in this text the disciples and other and others listening to Jesus' words would have understood his use of these phrases in exactly that way. So when we read Jesus' words and see the statements beginning with verily or truly, or some variation, we should recall the deeper meaning. There's deeper meaning to what he's saying. Those claims are not only Jesus' opinion on the truth. Those are ideas about which he has intimate, personal, first-hand knowledge of. He knows. For example, very, very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. We read that in John, very truly. Another very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and spirit. Another very truly. When he says those things, when you see Jesus say something, you need to peruse the text. Just don't read it. Peruse it. There's a reason. Ponder on it. Right? Reflect on it. There is a reason. Very truly I tell you, he says here another one. Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. Very truly, he wants us to know. Hence when Jesus says very truly, we need to read again what has taken place before. So what has taken place before in this text? Briefly. What had taken place? If you go back before go to John 9, because the gospel text comes from John 10, 1 to 10. What happened? Jesus was speaking about spiritual blindness. This is why this text ties into that. I'll just give you a summary of what happened in 9. The man who had been blind, right? The man who had been blind, and Jesus would heal him, right? And the Pharisees were upset, right? They were upset that he healed them from blindness because they were blaming his parents. That the parents had, did something wrong while he was born blind, right? And then after that happened, Jesus had told the man to go in faith and sin no more. But the man went and told the Pharisees, and they were very upset. And they were saying, in essence, who is this upstart? Who's this person that think he's the son of God or the son of man? Like, who is he to do this? And Jesus heard that they had driven him out. They drove the man out. They didn't want to hear it. He had been telling them about this man. He says, I don't know who this man is, but now I am blind. I was blind and now I can see. And they didn't want to hear that. Who are you? He says, I was blind, but now I can see, right? And so they had driven him out, and they had asked him, do you believe? Do you believe in the Son of God? And he answered. And so Jesus is going to see the man. The man is going to come back to Jesus, and he's telling them. And Jesus said to him, do you believe in the Son of Man? Jesus is going to ask this man. And he answered, and who is he, sir? Tell me so that I may believe in him. And Jesus said to him, you have seen him. And the one speaking with you is he. So Jesus would declare to that man, I am the Son of God or Son of Man. And the Pharisees were heard and they were angry. And Jesus turned to them and says, this man had physical blindness, but he has been healed. But you folks who are rejecting me have spiritual blindness. You have spiritual blindness. You will not accept me because you have spiritual blindness. So after he finished, he just told them that you have spiritual blindness. You don't want to accept me as a savior. Even of all the miracles I've done and all the things I've done, you don't believe my word. And then he goes into 10 verse 1. He's going to say to them, very truly, let me tell you the fact. You have spiritual blindness, but let me give you the fact. That's how the very truly comes in. You got to see what he said before. He's having a debate before. You see, the text is all tied together, right? It doesn't stand by itself. It all comes together. Then he says, very truly, I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way is a thief and a bandit, right? He's saying, you've got to, in essence, come through the gate, and I am the gate. In this text, he's going to be saying two things. He is the gate, and he's the shepherd. Right? This is amazing that he's saying that together. He's telling them, I am the gate and I am the shepherd, right? He calls his own by name and he leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them and the sheep follow him because they know him. Right? So Jesus begins by describing who he is not. He says, I am not a bandit or a thief. I am the gate. Very truly, I am the gate. You can't enter in unless you come through me. Oh, now, come on, friends. I know it's not that popular now in the world. People want us to say there are probably many ways to God, but I'm only telling you today, I only know one way to God, and that's through Jesus Christ. That's my charge. One way to God. He says the gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. So we who are believers and follow Jesus, we hear his voice. Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying. And so he says it again. First he speaks about, he says, very truly, I am the gate, right? And anyone who gets the sheep by not coming through the gate, what do? They're thieves and bandits. They've jumped over the fence or something. They have not come through the gate. But the Pharisees didn't get it. And so the second time he says, what did he say the second time? He says here, the second time he says, very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. Amen. I am the gate for the ones who is following me. Because the sheep do what? The sheep is supposed to follow who? The shepherd. I am the gate for the sheep, very truly. Very truly, friends, are you getting it this morning? Very truly, wherever you are. Jesus is the gate for the sheep. Ah, we are the sheep, aren't we? And all who come before me are thieves and bandits, and the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate, and whoever enters through me, Jesus says, will be saved, and I will come in and go out and will come in and go out and find pasture. Whoever comes to him will be saved. When we come to Jesus, we are saved. Saved by his amazing grace. You see, Jesus wanted them to know that. He says when he calls his sheep by name, they follow him. And he leads them out to pastures. That means what? He knows them personally. Do you know, friends who are watching and here, Jesus knows us personally. He knows us by name. Amen. He knows us because we are following him as shepherd. He knows us by name. He says the sheep will not follow a stranger, but instead will flee from one whose voice they do not recognize. I'd like to encourage anybody who's watching today. If you're following something that you don't get, you don't understand, if you're following all these new age things, things that are happening in the world, I could tell you about a savior called Jesus. The one who's going to be with you no matter what. He says, whereas the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. Jesus says, I came that they may have life and have it more abundantly. He says, I come that you may have life. And what does he mean by abundant life? You know, when I read this text, you know what I called? I said to myself, this gospel text is the gospel according to Jesus. This is the gospel clearly according to Jesus. Jesus says, here I am, folks. Here's my resume. Here's my resume. I am the only one. You asked me about the job I can do. I am the only one who could bring salvation into your life. I am the shepherd. Not only just any kind of shepherd, as Isaiah would say. Now, they're bad shepherd, you know. Remember, shepherding is a task, is a job. They're bad shepherd. And then there's the what? The good shepherd. The good shepherd who would lay down his life for his sheep. Amen. Right? That's what the shepherd does. He's at the gate, and guess what? If somebody's trying to come in through the gate, he will lay his body across the gate and not let them in. The good shepherd. And when he says abundant life, friends, He doesn't mean just life living here now. Abundant life also means eternal life. Abundant life means we have life here, and we will have abundant life with him there. And that's why today, as I bring this home, because we have Holy Communion, the 23rd Psalm is so important for us today. We sang it earlier. It's one of the scriptures for today. And there's somebody who has lost a loved one. There's even someone in our church who has lost a loved one. There's somebody somewhere who has lost someone, but who that person is a believer. Glory to God. That's someone who died believing in Christ. Here's the hope for the family and the families. Wherever you are, here's the hope of this 23rd Psalm that is said more than any psalm throughout the world. The 23rd Psalm. Here is the hope, friends, of the good shepherd, the divine shepherd, the text says. Peter would say it, that he would give his life. He was bruised and beaten for us. Peter reminded them in 1 Peter that he would die for us. Here's what the good shepherd say while we're living. That's why this psalm is used in almost every funeral that I've ever done and almost any funeral that I've ever been to. We always go to the 23rd Psalm because the hope is there for what? For those who are going and for we who are here. This is the word of the good shepherd. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. Can you say that today for yourself? The Lord is, I shall not want. Amen. We shall not want. We may need. We may need, but we shall not want because the Lord is our shepherd. He is the good shepherd and he has laid down his life for the sheep. He makes me lie down in green pastures. No matter how bad things look, he will make green pasture for us. He leads me beside still waters. Oh, what are still waters? Still waters is those things that give you peace. Peace that surpasses all understanding. Still waters. And then when you're going through, when you've been diagnosed with something or you're sick, he restores my soul. Does somebody's soul need restoration today? I need restoration for my soul. We have been under quarantine. We need restoration. We have been under social distance. My soul needs restoration. So I could cry out to God and says, restore my soul. He leads us in the right paths for his name's sake. And now here's the part that is so unique. As people are going on to abundant life in heaven with Jesus, it says, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. Even though we may be transitioning, there are many who are transitioning to the unknown where we don't know, but we know that Jesus is there because he says he went to prepare a place for us, that where he is, we may be also. That's what the good shepherd tells us. So we could hold on to that. I could just imagine when some believers are transitioning and they remember those lines, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil. Why am I not fearing any evil? For you are with me. Amen. I want to tell a family, one of our church family members, that when their beloved father was transitioning, Lord of mercy. When he was transitioning, the Lord our God was there, reaching out his hands to him, holding him so he could cross over. That's the hope this morning of the good shepherd. Amen. Verily, truly, I tell you. Hallelujah. Very truly, I tell you. Very truly, I tell you. For you are with me, your rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Very truly, I tell you. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup run it over. Oh, my cup run it over today. Because we know that the Lord is with us no matter what we face. And then it ends. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy. Goodness and God's mercy. Mercy is what we cry out for. Shall follow me and follow you all the days of my life. and I will dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. My God, very truly, Jesus says. That means he's not messing around. Right? Jesus is not messing around. He's not playing around. When he tells you very truly, he's saying, get it. Get it, friends. Children, you get it. This is not something that I'm making up because I'm just walking around as a magician. I am the Messiah. I am the one who has come to save you. I am the Son of the living God. I am the one who's going to die on Calvary for you. I'm the one who's going to raise from the dead for you, as 1 Peter says. I'm the one who's going to raise up for you. And I'm the one who's going to welcome you home when you come. Very truly, I tell you. Very truly, I tell you today. Verily, verily, I am the one, Lord Jesus says. There is no other way but through him. And so we get comfort from those words. Because those words are true. They're yea and amen. And so wherever you are, and every time you read the scriptures and you read the words of Jesus, I want you to remember these words, says John. Very truly. He's telling me as it is. And he's speaking the truth. Thanks be to God for a Savior that is faithful and just. Amen. Amen.